Good morning. This is Mark Mace, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning, and let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to take a couple moments, Lord, and draw our attention and our time, Father, to your word. And I'm asking you, Lord, this morning that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves, and Lord, you know exactly what it is that we need. I pray that you would help us this morning. Speak to us, challenge us, change us. And Father, from that challenge and from that change that will take place, may you be honored and glorified. May our life, Lord, bring favorable attention upon you and upon your name. Lord, help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs. I'm in chapter 22, verse number 10. I'm looking for biblical principles for practical living. Excuse me. Been doing this for some time, going through the book of Proverbs, identifying principles that you and I as Christians can begin to put into practice immediately if we haven't already done so. Of course, if we are trying or making the effort to practice these principles, we want to get even better at doing so. If we, for whatever reason, haven't adopted these principles, haven't recognized them, then may God give us the wisdom to see the truth in these and have the discernment to make them a part of our routine of making how we make decisions. And so biblical principles for practical living. We're in verse number 10. The Bible says, "Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease." That word cast out, or those two words cast out, they have the meaning, the idea of to drive away, to put away, to thrust out. Pretty simple. Nothing difficult there. Cast out the scorner. Drive away the scorner. Put away the scorner. Thrust him out, or her out for that matter. And contention shall go out. In other words, you get rid of the scorner, and you can get rid of the contention that comes with the scorner. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease, or shall come to an end because of that. Excuse me. The word scorner there is one who, it literally means to make mouths. It's the idea to scoff or to make fun or a mocker. And so the Bible has given us a bit of advice here that we would be well advised to take heed to. That is, cast out the scorner, drive them out, put them away, thrust them out. And when you do so, contention, strife, and reproach are going to go with it. You know, a Christian needs discernment and wisdom to deal with those who've become scorners in their presence. You know, as a Christian, we often, we run into people, or sometimes they run into us, so to speak, and they're contentious people. They're scorners. They're people who mock and bring contention and strife and reproach. And we as a Christian need to have wisdom and discernment how to deal with those that begin to conduct themselves in this matter. It needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with quickly. As a matter of fact, the more quickly we can deal with it, the more good, excuse me, will come from that. If it's in the home, the workplace, the church, the school, or wherever this sin rears its ugly head, it needs to be dealt with according to the terms that are needed to rid the environment of its presence. And that means we have to make some tough decisions sometimes. And that's life. You know, life is full of tough decisions. And sometimes when that person or persons who show themselves to be scorners, contentious, those who bring in strife, when they begin to manifest themselves, you know, leadership needs to do something about it. And they need to do something about it quickly. If you don't, and you allow it to go unchallenged and unchanged, well, you've got chaos just around the corner. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:24, "Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath." That's often the very basis of those that are contentious, those who are scorners. They're full of pride. They're full of themselves. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." And God's just given us some plain old, if you would, horse sense here. You've got somebody who's a talebearer, somebody who's causing strife, contentious. If you don't deal with that person, if you don't squelch that, you're going to have a lot of problems. You know, sometimes in this old world, you just got to do what you got to do. We've got this idea that somebody brought in, I guess when I was a younger kid, or even younger than that, or before I was even born, somebody came up with this political correctness stuff that says, you know what, we need to be tolerant. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to cause them any emotional disturbance. And so we just tolerate anything and everything, and look where it's gotten us as a society. I think it's high time, and personally I think it's way past high time, that we stand up as a society and say, you know, enough is far more than enough. And we're not going to tolerate utter foolishness. We're just not going to turn the other cheek to it. We're just not going to do so. Because if by doing so, we're doing more harm not only to ourselves, but to our future, to our children, to our grandchildren. God help our kids. God help our grandkids in the society that they have to grow up in. And a large part of it is to be blamed on the Christians and those who had truth who did nothing with it. What's the phrase that we often hear? All that evil needs to do to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Boy, that's exactly what's gotten us in the place where we are. Good men have done nothing so many times, so often. And one of the ways we've done nothing, we haven't gotten rid of, we haven't thrust away the scorner, the contentious, those who cause strife and reproach. We haven't, as Barney Fife would say, we haven't nipped it in the bud. We needed to do something about it, and we didn't do it. Psalm 101, verse 5, the Bible says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." That's David. David said, when I get around somebody who's privately slandering his neighbor, David says, you know what? That's it. I'm done with it. He's out of here. I'm not putting up with that stuff. How many times do we do that when somebody begins to slander our neighbor, slander our friend, slander our preacher, slander our coworker? How many of us stand up and say, you know what, I'm not putting up with that foolishness. Enough's enough. Just knock it off. How many times do we do that? So many times people run to hear the juicy news that's coming out from the slanderer. No wonder our society is in the shape that it's in. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, the Bible says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." That's separation. That's dealing with an issue within the church to the degree that person, he's to be dealt with as a heathen and a publican. There's to be separation. You know, nowadays, so the world would be aghast if the church would actually call somebody within the church to be disciplined. Church discipline, they can't hardly believe it. How dare you? Who do you think you are, they say. Well, we're the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And there's a standard to be held up and a standard to be adhered to. And right will be accepted and wrong just will have to be dealt with. But you almost never hear of church discipline. You almost never hear of a church standing up. I'm absolutely all for helping those who need to be helped. But there is a spirit of contention when that shows up. It just needs to be dealt with. And if you don't, then you're asking for trouble and you're sure to get it. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 9 and 10, the Bible said, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." Well, Sarah didn't take kindly to it. "Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondman and her son, for the son of this bondman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." Sarah was the woman who said, you know what, I'm not putting up with that. That's it. That's over with. She dealt with the issue at hand. You know, and basically what we need to learn from there, here's a principle. We need to have this mindset and quit buying into this lie that the world has come along and said, well, you're so intolerant, you need to change. We need to have a diverse society. We need to be accepting those who are different. And I'm all for accepting people, but I'm not for accepting when they do what's wrong. The idea that I can't tell a bank robber he's wrong for robbing a bank is utter foolishness. the idea that I can't tell somebody who's doing wrong and that's wrong and I disagree with it because I'm afraid that I'll be seen as intolerant, that's absolutely utter foolishness. We've got a society today that's scared to death to stand up and call a spade a spade. Scared to death to stand up and call wrong wrong. We live in a society where right has become wrong and wrong has become right. Evil has become good and good has become evil. And unfortunately, those who have and know the truth of righteousness through the Word of God, we have compromised and we have set back and done nothing as a whole. And there are many who are individually doing it in pockets of it, but as a mass whole, we have allowed this idea, this push for tolerance to cause us to sit back and do nothing. Instead of casting out the scorner, instead of putting away, driving away that activity, we've allowed it to take place. And what has it gotten us? It has gotten us total disarray and chaos in our society. God help our children and our grandchildren what they're going to face because their generation before them didn't do what God told them they should do. This is a biblical principle for practical living. You don't have to be mean and ugly. You'll be accused of that for sure, but that doesn't have to be that. You don't have to be hateful to stand up to do right. You just don't have to. You can be kind and gracious. The Lord Jesus had the best standards of anyone, and he didn't tolerate it. He didn't have a bad attitude his whole life, but he sure had strong standards. And he sometimes said, ye vipers. He sometimes called them hypocrites. Sometimes, I mean, he just, as we would say today, he called a spade, didn't really apologize for it either. But he had a gracious attitude. He stood up for what needed to be stood up for, and he didn't back down. And the Bible says we're to follow his example. May God help us. May we have the right attitude while we have the right position. Sometimes we have a bad disposition while we hold on to right position. That's not good. God doesn't want that. He always wants us to have a good disposition, but also have the right position. And may God help us to have wisdom and discernment in this area. One other verse. Let's drop down to verse 15. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Lots could be said here. I wish I had a lot of time to talk about this one. As I think back about my early life, growing up in home, I think about my mother and my father, mostly my mother, but my dad worked and was in the military away from home. My mother used to, shall we say, she used to spank me. I'm going to put it that way. She used to spank me. My dad used to spank me. And at the time, it wasn't fun. But as I've looked back upon that and I've looked at what has happened to society and I think about what could have happened to me and what I could have gotten involved in, but you know what, I was afraid to do some things. I was intimidated in a sense. I didn't want to get in trouble because trouble was not fun. The Bible says foolishness is abound in the heart of a child and a rod of correction shall drive it far from. My parents, thank God, were driving that foolishness out of my heart. People, society comes along and says that's child abuse or, it's hate. That's love. That's love. My mother said to me years ago, one time I'd gotten in trouble, as I'd often had, and I deserved it. And we were going around our kitchen table. My mother had me by one arm and had a belt in one arm, the other hand, and she was spanking me, and she was telling me, tell me you love me. And, boy, she would wail me on the backside, and I would holler out, I love you. She would rear back again and say, tell me you love me. And whap, she would go, and I'd say, I love you. Now, at the time, I didn't really mean it. I was just doing what she said, trying to get out of this spanking that I was receiving. Years had gone by, and I went to my mother, and I hugged her and gave her a kiss on the cheek, and I said, Mama, you don't have to make me tell you I love you anymore. I sure do love you, and I appreciate you. You know, what Mom was doing to me and Dad, I didn't really like it then. But once I got older and realized the benefit of that, I sure do appreciate it. And I have told them many times. My dad is now deceased, but I told him on many occasions, told my mom, I'm so glad you didn't stop. I'm so glad you didn't give up on me, that you disciplined me. And you, they let me know I wasn't the boss. Now, I tried to act like I was, but every time I act like it, they told me in no uncertain terms I was not the boss of that house. They were. And they were going to let me know it, too. And they did. And may I say, I'm so glad they did. I am so glad they did. I shudder to think what I could have gotten involved in had I not had a fear of Mom and Dad. A good fear. And I'm glad they taught me that. I'm glad they loved me enough to discipline me. I am glad, I thank God in heaven, that they loved me enough to chasten me, to correct me, to spank me, to put me on that straight and narrow path. I shudder to think what would have happened had they not. Lots could be said here. I won't take it any further than this. But if you have a mom and dad that have done that for you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You appreciate it. I remember hearing an account years ago of some adolescents, not in prison, but they were teenagers in a home. And they had some questions that they asked him. And one of the responses, they said this, we wish we had parents who had some rules. Think about that. We wish we had some parents that had rules. I wonder how many kids have gotten in trouble because parents didn't have any rules. They didn't have any consequences built into their home life when the child did wrong. I'm glad my mother and father had rules, and I'm really glad they had consequences when I didn't follow them. May God help us to see the wisdom in this. If you as a parent don't have them, you need to get them. You need to correct it. You've got one shot at your children. You better do it God's way, or you're really making a terrible mistake. May God help you to have the wisdom and discernment in this area, and may God give you great success. Well, I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.